April Tynwald was a lively affair. There were loads of very interesting questions to start with, so what better place to start? I described this first question by Julie Edge as a little bit mischievous. What measures are in place to ensure fiscal responsibility and to reinstate financial discipline? And the reason I suggested this was a little on the mischievous side is because, quite frankly, this is the bread and butter job of all departments of government and all ministers. You know, they have, well, for as long, I think, as the ministerial system of government has been in place, fiscal responsibility and financial discipline have been top of the list for ministers. You may not believe that as a member of the public, but certainly that's always been the case in my experience. So quite an admission from the Chief Minister that they had to, as a government, revisit this. And Julie Edge recently reshuffled out of ministerial life was certainly wielding a knife in a hopefully a gentle sort of a way with this question. Jason Moorhouse then had a question about housing waiting lists, to which Tim Crookle answered they'd gone down from 930 in October 21 to 912 around this time now. So an 18 drop, not that significant. Generally speaking, the substantial amount of work that's been going on across local authority housing and indeed the department's own housing has been primarily about refurbishing decaying stock that's probably come to the end of its useful life. So that was the first two, and they were the starred questions. So as they were starred, I felt they deserved a mention at least. There were a range of other questions, not least from another former minister, Chris Thomas, who was he's really got his teeth into the steam packet at the moment, had several different questions about that. There were questions about dental health, and that was from David Ashford. There were questions, further questions from Jason Moorhouse in relation to antidepressants being prescribed to children aged 12, over 12 but under 18. And the answer to that question was the minister and indeed Manx Care doesn't actually have the information. And it was suggested perhaps that Jason Moorhouse might have done better to explain to the minister what his actual problem was, what was the thing that he was trying to find out, so that a better answer could have been given. Obviously, Jason Moorhouse could decide how he wants to approach things, and the minister needs to do his best to answer those questions. So that was most of the big questions. I'm sure there would be several others, including such things as whether an appraisal well and flow test are necessary first steps in exploration of the gas prospect to the east of the island, and what advice and support relating to the operation and stewardship of the hydrocarbon license had been sought by the department. Again, some questions there from Chris Thomas, MHK. So those were the first, well, those were the questions. And then we move on to the order paper. Lots on the order paper, lots of lively debate, and some even described some of the debate as a little bloody at times. Minister Allanson made a personal statement in relation to the tax strategy to set the ball rolling. Then Minister Hooper came forward with a motion asking for an extra £2.333 million in relation to a care home that his department, through Manx Care, through the Capital Projects Unit, through Treasury, all seem to be involved in a certain way in this project. But this effectively the project has overrun in time. I think 72 weeks over time. Much of this, to be fair, on the department is down to things like COVID, the overspends also relating to the the significant increase in the cost of certain resources, building resources required, partly as a result of the Russian invasion of Ukraine, which has led to significant price increases. And it was actually described by, I think, Chris Thomas initially as a good news story, because the Capital Projects Unit, which is, I think, part of DOI, had managed to keep some of the costs at least down, and had found ways to try and limit the overspend that ultimately came. Then we had two very weighty items, and these items certainly led to some quite heated and at times emotional debate. And this was the independent review of the government's management of the Ranson case, which was a report produced by Richard Wright KC, and then that was followed by the report by Kate Brunner KC. And the Chief Minister, I think, has played this quite well, in that he made a statement initially. This is particularly in relation to COVID. He made a statement. We then had the debate on COVID, and then there will be a further debate with clarity as to how Council of Ministers intends to deal with the recommendations within the COVID report. That debate to take place in July. The July sitting, the last sitting before the summer break. So by doing that, the Chief Minister has given members a lot of opportunity to have their say. It's giving time for members to consult with members of the public. The Chief Minister, again, was very fulsome, it's fair to say, in his apology, particularly in relation to the COVID debate. And I'm sure that will be welcomed by many. In relation to the Dr. Ranson affair, I'm not completely convinced that all parties feel that the matter has drawn to a close, but certainly it would indicate that some of the pursuit of certain civil servants in relation to trying to silence the freedom of the press and all the other suggestions that had gone forward, there was nothing, though no evidence appeared to be found to back those claims up, and that in fact most of the handling, and this is, of course, is the handling of the appeal into the Ranson case. It wasn't the actual case itself. And I suppose there may be more to come out on this as time goes by, but certainly in relation to the COVID report, the Kate Brunner KC report, that will come back to Tynwald in July. Then we had the Environment Infrastructure Policy Review Committee asking what appeared to be a fairly modest request. All papers laid before Tynwald should contain the month and year in which they were produced and should make clear who was responsible for their production. You'd kind of think that's pretty obvious stuff. Make sure you've got a date and who is answerable for the report. I mean, it's a fairly basic thing, but apparently some reports appear in Tynwald without this. So that was all. That was what the committee was reporting on, and they, needless to say, got support from Tynwald. Then there were two appointments or sets of appointments: one to the MUA board and one to the Gambling Supervision Commission. That David Ashford came forward with a private member's motion, and that is that Tynwald is of the opinion that a central register of ministerial decisions taken across government should be created. Well, this was amended by the Chief Minister to considered, and that government will report back by no later than October this year. It does seem a bit strange that, I suppose, to many people, that ministerial decisions aren't being recorded in this sort of way, so that everyone, particularly people in government, are aware of what decisions are being taken by other ministers. That said, the definition of what ministerial decisions should be in such a register, it still needs some definition or some clarity. There are plenty of decisions that are taken by ministers on a daily basis that wouldn't warrant entry into a register, such as what biscuits they wanted with their tea or who they wanted to meet and when they wanted to meet them in relation to their diary. But things like major policy decisions, you would think, should certainly be there. Whether decisions on relatively basic matters it's not a basic matter, but it's a basic role that the DEFA minister plays in terms of considering reports from inspectors relating to planning appeals. That's a role that is fulfilled by the minister. The minister then publishes that report, or their decision, so that the decision is very clear to everyone. There are plenty of decisions like that, quasi-judicial type roles that ministers have to fulfil. Are those the sort of things that you would want in a register? Not absolutely clear that that would be necessary, but Timlald will no doubt find out when council ministers report back in October 2024. And then Jason Moorhouse asked that Timlald made the internet more affordable for people who are on limited means. And surprisingly, perhaps, his motion gained support. There were, 6. I think there were 6 members who voted against the motion from Jason Moorhouse, but on the whole, members seem to think this was a good idea. So basically asking the regulatory authority, Communications and Utilities Regulatory Authority, CURA, to seek to implement measures which would support the carrying out of essential online activity by users facing financial barriers to accessing the internet. So that was a surprise, certainly to Mr. Moorhouse. I think he was expecting it to be knocked back, but he got that through. Then back to David Ashford. His amendment on this occasion was modestly amended by the Treasury Minister, and this was effectively that Timlald will ask the Manx Lottery Trust to review the distribution of funds so that distribution to a greater value than the 50,000 limit could potentially be made. So this is a request for consideration about this. And as I understand it, I think they are reporting back again by July, Timlald. This is primarily in relation to distribution of funds from dormant assets. These are bank accounts and that have been lying dormant and no one's claimed them, and people have tried to find out who they might belong to and no one could. So those funds, the dormant asset funds, end up in a big pool in Treasury and eventually filter their way out to the Lottery Trust, who currently is able to give them out by way of grants of up to £50,000 for worthy causes. Then Miss Edge had a motion about whistleblowing, which was withdrawn. We then had what seemed a fairly innocuous request from Rob Collister for Timlald to reaffirm its decision of the 21st of November 2017 in relation to what has been described as a job description for MLCs and a request that MLCs should not be on more than one department. So this is obviously something that has irked Rob Collister. And Timlald was not willing to reaffirm their decision of the 21st of November 2017. In fact, they went with an amendment from the Chief Minister which merely noted the Timlald opinion. And of course, this is the thing. Timlald, in these cases, is giving its opinion. It is not in a position to compel anybody to do anything. But ministers have to be very wary of ignoring Tynwald opinions, if they choose to ignore a Tynwald opinion, particularly when it's unanimously supported, they need to have pretty good reason for doing so. And, of course, the reason given is that ministers were struggling to fill the departmental roles that needed filling, because a number of MHKs now are choosing not to be part of government and having their right effectively to be independent of government, so that they would argue that they can give more independent scrutiny of what's going on. Others may have a different view, of course, on that. Then Michelle Hayward brought forward a motion which seems to have been very long in terms of its anticipation, and this was in relation to Gaza, condemning attacks carried out by Hamas, but also condemning the indiscriminate attacks in Gaza, which resulted in deaths of thousands of innocent Palestinian civilians and the like. It also, in a way, supported the Palestinian state, which perhaps wasn't quite what many of the Tynwald members thought they were doing. But yeah, that was amended slightly by the Chief Minister, and effectively the view was taken, certainly by the mover, Dr. Hayward, that it was better to have unanimous support for something, and the something, whilst watered down a little bit on what Michelle Hayward had initially envisaged, was still pretty powerful from Tynwald members. We then moved on to the Tynwald Standards and Members' Interest Committee third report, and this involved eight recommendations in all, some of which included the Standards and Members' Interest Committee should work with the Tynwald Management Committee and the Treasury to develop detailed plans for establishment of a Standards Commissioner, taking into account views expressed by Tynwald members during the debate on the report. Now, this sort of stems from the consideration into the conduct of Rob Collister, Michelle Hayward, and I think there was the one other. Certainly, those two were mentioned, and it had been felt, I think, both in terms of, well, on all sides, that the it was quite difficult for members of the House of Keys to pass judgment on their peers, and then subsequently have to work with them at a later stage. So I think this is a way of trying to make that more independent, having a standards commissioner who's independent of the Keys and LegCo. And there were several other items on there as well, including allowing the recall provisions of the Keys elections to be triggered by a report by Tynwald Standards and Members' Interest Committee or such other committee as may be specified by Tynwald. And that went through with 20 Keys for, 8 LegCo for, and Mr. Collister against. And it also asked for the similar recall regime for members of LegCo. So that was there. So I think they were all the recommendations were passed. Then we moved on to, again, what appear to be fairly innocuous items at the end of the order paper, but they included things, well, the Education Minister extending the childcare credit scheme to include children whose birth year is in their third birth year and their fourth birth year. So effectively, instead of what had been the case with just 1 year of preschool credit being available to parents, they now have 2 years for each child. So that was extended. That went through with a good deal of support. And then finally, the Climate Change Act 2021. The Minister for Infrastructure moved that part of the necessary bureaucracy in relation to marine development that's currently in existence in the UK would be adopted by the Isle of Man government for use, particularly in relation to the developments that are likely to be taking place in our territorial seas or national waters, I think was a phrase that was used possibly for the first time in the debate. Interestingly, that particular item, the full order from which this legislation is borrowed, the full UK order, actually includes terrestrial development of wind farms as well as marine development. But for some reason, Council of Ministers has chosen not to extend the full provisions of this UK order. And that was it. That was Tynwald. Tynwald, I think that some of the schisms that are clearly there within Tynwald were starting to become a little bit more evident during debates. Certainly, there's a degree of animosity maybe being demonstrated to a greater extent than perhaps there was. Maybe we're at 2.5 years through this House, 2.5 years to go, members are starting to, well, in some cases, they've got their feet firmly under the table now and are starting to flex their muscles. In other cases, maybe they're thinking, well, the election's coming up soon and I need to be a bit clearer as to which side I'm actually on in relation to various political matters. But no doubt they'll tell us at some point why they're behaving in the ways that they are. But yes, that was Tynwald, a lively and for us Tynwald nerds, interesting in a couple of days.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Little Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.